I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello guys, welcome back to episode 10 of the Sports Sit Down with Joe and Nathan again. Hello boys.
You alright?
Love it.
This week Joe has, as he says he loves it, has been tasked with planning the podcast. What have we got today, Joe?
We've got some coverage and recapping of the Premier League matches from the weekend. We have got some talks about the most recent F1 Grand Prix. That's later to come. We've got the tennis, a little bit on that. There's been an incident in boxing to do with somebody's teeth, and just classic stuff like the championship. And there was also the Checker Trade Trophy final at the weekend between Pompey and Sunderland.
Sounds good, that. Should we jump straight into the Premier League then, boys?
Yeah.
First game I've got listed is Liverpool versus Spurs. Now it ended 2-1 to Liverpool. Did any of you catch it?
Yeah.
I call the highlights of this.
Yeah, what do you think? Because I personally haven't seen it. I've looked at some of the stats and analysis, but...
Yeah, I thought, from a goalkeeping perspective, the own goal was completely down to Lloris. I don't know what you thought about it, Nathan, but I don't think... It was Salah, weren't it? And I think it was Eder. Yeah. It didn't look like it had enough power, which warranted it to be punched straight back into the middle of the box, in my opinion.
Alderweireld's own goal, weren't it?
Yeah.
I
think Lloris has done that a few times this season.
He's the only keeper, I think it was the only keeper other than Pickford in the past year to have like caused more goals from his mistakes.
There you go.
Yeah.
He always looks a bit shaky, doesn't he? Sometimes.
Yeah. There's some solid performances. I think might have just been the last few weeks we covered how he was on form. I think it was against Southampton away, and then we see him another away game at Anfield, and you know, he's let his side slip here. Gone on to lose the game. And Jermaine Genus, the ex-midfielder for Spurs, said that Lloris has let Tottenham down too many times. Quite damning comments. But what do you think to that? Do you think they need to be buying a new keeper to take over from him?
I'm not really sure what other...
He's a World Cup winning keeper. Yeah,
wasn't he captain?
Yeah, well, even if a World Cup in that final... He got those, like, I think it was Croatia's second goal, if you remember it. I don't know what he was doing. He just, like, kind of...
He made
another mistake. Yeah, and obviously, at that time, they were already, like, 3-1, 4-1 up, so it wasn't really a big deal. But I don't think he's a bad keeper. I just think that he does make...
I'm not really sure what other keepers there are in world football at the minute they could realistically bring in as a replacement.
In terms of upgrading and getting them for quite a reasonable price.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, players like Oblak are going to be way out there.
Spurs don't like to spend big, do they? So
I just don't think they can either as well with the stadium, which is looking very nice. But back to the game at Anfield. Firmino obviously scored the opener on 16th minute. That was his seventh in his past six at Anfield. And that took him 25 games to achieve that tally prior. So he's hit a purple patch at home. Even though people are saying that he's had a bit of an off season, the fit figures in recent have shown that back to form at home.
Yeah.
Robertson was man of the match. I know that he got an assist for that first goal, and he made more passes than any other player on the day. So
really,
yeah.
I think that I saw a stat that he's now the most ever assist for a defender in a Premier League season.
Really?
Yeah. I can't remember what the exact numbers. I think it might be something like 11 or 13, something like that.
Yeah, it was because it was comparing him to like Sterling and other.
Yeah,
other,
and he's like him and Alexander-Arnold like have this mini competition, see who can get the most assists. And I think he's blown Alexander-Arnold out of the water at the minute.
Yeah,
like three or four,
definitely
five ahead of him. But yeah, both like brilliant fullbacks, and I can't really question who would be a better left back than Robertson this season
in Premier League or world football.
World football, to be honest.
Yeah,
it was a crucial 3 points for Liverpool.
Yeah,
it keeps them in the title race. Yeah, okay, it's not in their hands really anymore, it's all in City's hands, but it's still if they'd have dropped, if even a draw probably wouldn't have been a good enough result against Tottenham at the weekend.
They've done it a few times this season, haven't they? Like scoring late crucial goals, like the one Merseyside derby early this season with that Pickford blunder. And it's just sometimes when they're not at their best, they had like an electric spell in the first half, but Spurs probably were deserving of their equaliser, but they still got the job done and still came away, battled for the 3 points and got the job done. So fair play.
Yeah, the stats were very even. Both sides combined only managed 5 shots on target out of 25 total. So it was quite a poor game in terms of high quality chances. But Liverpool, as we've said many times on the podcast, they're not playing the best football, but you know, they are getting the job done, applying the pressure, you know, keeping it on City. You do have the game in hand, but that's more pressure that they've put on against the top six, you know, rival as well.
So. Yeah, as you were saying, Liverpool, I think they've got, I think they need one more winning goal in the 90th minute to break the Premier League's all-time record for a season, which is, I think they've got 3, which is still a lot of, that's 9 points worth of last-minute goals. So, yeah.
Quick debate, are Liverpool the luckiest Premier League side ever?
I wouldn't say ever, because I thought like a Man City v QPR in 2012, stuff like that. I think they, as of late, they've been quite fortunate with the way certain games have played out.
Yeah.
I saw another stat on Twitter. It was some juicy stats flying about on Twitter. No, it was something like, thanks to if VAR was in the Premier League, Liverpool would have like 11 points fewer this season. So, I mean, proves how lucky they are this season, to be
mirrored
fair.
Mirrored by Joe's flexing.
But then, yeah, but then again, all teams, if VAR was in, would have lost and picked up points in different places. Yeah. So, it's hard to really say.
They probably could have lost points as well if gained them.
Well, Spurs have now lost 17 of their 27 Premier League trips to Anfield, and they've only lost more away games at Old Trafford, 21. So it's not a place that they like to, you know, they enjoy going. Palace versus Huddersfield. It was more a big game in terms of, obviously, it sealed Huddersfield's fate. They are now down with, is it 6 or 7 games to go?
I think it's the second earliest.
Yeah, after Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what, I think there's a day between.
I think it genuinely.
March 29th and then March 30th for Huddersfield.
It was the same weekend. It's the same like match day.
So. Sad to see Huddersfield go, because I don't know that you couldn't really, there's never really any negatives you had to say about them in terms of like their fans and the football they played. They just weren't great, you know.
They're
quality.
Just not a Premier League side, are they?
Like, but you hope they'll go back down, rebuild. But there's, I think the owner's trying to sell the club. So you've got to hope that they can hold on to some of their better players and regroup and rebuild under Jan Siewert. But Palace. Well, both teams in this game are quite even. And it took, obviously, until Milivojevic, his 76th minute penalty. So, and he's now scored 9 out of his 9 penalties this season. So he's essential for Palace. Like, obviously, everyone focuses on Zaha. But without his penalties, they would definitely be a lot further down than they are. And people are still saying they're in the relegation threat. Which, obviously, statistically they are, but...
They've got a game in hand as well.
Yeah,
so it's...
and that win was massive for them. You'd see that Hodgson, as I watched the highlights, Hodgson was visibly frustrated with the lack of good quality chances and didn't have that clinical edge. Even with the likes of Bashuayi playing, who was brought in, you know, to be the goal scorer, still hasn't really worked out, has it? I mean, and then you got, I don't think you're playing this game at Benteke. They probably need to get him off the books soon because large wages. Did you guys catch it?
I was actually about to make a comment about that. You can tell which one of us has got notes on this game, can't you?
Yeah.
We do our research.
I mean, yeah, I don't think I speak for Joe, but I haven't seen this game.
I haven't either. I was just gonna agree. It's been unfortunate for Huddersfield to go down this early, but let's face it, the relegation battle from quite early on has been Fulham and Huddersfield looking like they're probably going to go down. Because Fulham, if they lose tonight, actually, I think it's against, is it Watford? I think it's Watford away. They'll also join Huddersfield.
In the Championship,
so that'll probably be either the third or fourth, probably earliest
relegation. I think Fulham have, the first side since 1977 to concede at least 2 goals in 12 consecutive league games. Just shows you how like shambolic their defence is.
That record, you're definitely going down, aren't you? Like, there's no way out of it. Back to Selhurst Park, Palace versus Huddersfield. Huddersfield have failed to score in 38 of their 70 Premier League games, which is 54.3% of them. That's the highest percentage in the history of the competition. So it's the same as Fulham. Fulham shipping too many goals. Huddersfield pretty, you know, solid in defence, but just can't score. But they did. I think they had 5 shots on target this game, which is very good for their standards. And also, you'd probably say I'm a bit unlucky to not even get a goal. Bearing in mind that Palace, I think, had the same shots on target and obviously won 2-0. But quite a quirky fact, which I'm sure you boys might have seen, is that Palace have relegated 3 teams in the last 3 seasons, obviously Hull, Stoke and Palace, Huddersfield, sorry, in which Van Aanholt has scored last in each of the games. So he loves punishing the lesser teams, doesn't he, that lad? But yeah, as we spoke about them earlier, Fulham versus City, that was the early kickoff on Saturday. Hoping that you guys have got some more knowledge on this game to back me up. Have we, boys?
Have you, Nathan?
Have you, Joe?
Well, it personally wasn't on my plan. So this has just been sprung out of nowhere on me.
Don't worry. I just thought if there's a bit of insight you could give, you know,
wait,
like,
have you actually got notes on it?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just going to say how one-sided it was, like the possession stats and then shots. Was, I don't think
no shots on target.
Yeah, for Fulham. Yeah. Whereas City, like, must have had like in excess of 30 shots in total.
Well, they had 24 shots. Know your stuff, Nathan. Nah, joking, mate.
BBC. seven
of which were on target, and the 65% possession. And they're, like we said, they're almost certainly down now, and it's reflected by there was just a deflated atmosphere. I watched it on the highlights. The fans, even from the off, like City dominated straight away. The commentator for Match of the Day said that they could have been up already in 5 minutes.
Well, they were up in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but a few up, as he said. It's funny how Joe just pops off now.
Wait until F1, that's where I'm getting excited.
Oh, don't worry, mate. There were numerous Fulham errors. So have you boys not seen any of this game?
I've just seen the score on Google. That's about as close.
Okay, there we go. But there was a couple of errors which actually gave them the goals. I remember the second goal, it was Joe Bryan, the left wing back, who's ex-Bristol City. We'll talk about them later in detail after their big win over Sheffield United. Joe will cover that for us.
Love it.
He made a mistake, put it into the hands of the City players, and they just punished them. And this, it just made it a stroll in the park for City. They could have gone to that next level, but they'll have this midweek game, I think it's tomorrow, coming up in their mind against Cardiff, and then they've got the semi-final against Brighton.
Fulham have now lost 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Which is not a nice stat.
Yeah.
And other than the one win they had in January, they've not actually had a win at all this year. They've had one win in 2019. They've picked up 3 points in 2019.
I had so much more like higher expectations for Fulham as well.
The amount of money spent, really.
And the young talent, Mitrovic, Sessegnon, Tom Kearney. Perhaps the Mitrovic and Kearney aren't what you call it, what we deem as young, but they're certainly not old. They're both mid-20s. But in this game, obviously, Aguero got the second goal in the first half, and he also got man of the match.
What a surprise.
He's now scored the same number of goals for City, 228 and 328, as Thierry Henry had for Arsenal, doing it in 48 fewer games.
Really?
Quick little question. Would you say that Aguero's up there with Henry? Obviously, he's still playing.
I've obviously seen more of Aguero than Henry, but from what I've seen of Henry, I just think he was like next level caliber in like how he turned the game on his own and stuff.
Is Aguero now also in the top five for the all-time Premier League scorers? Or he's joined,
easily
he's
could,
joined, he's joined
I know he
someone.
Entered the top 10 at what, like not that long ago, so
I can't remember how close he is to number one, because what Shearer's got, how many is it? Is it 262?
I think that Aguero could beat that, to be fair, if that is the case, because Aguero's on 228.
Shearer scored 260 in the Premier League, sorry.
So he only needs 33.
Nah, because that's all for Man City.
Oh, that's in total, isn't it?
Yeah. Shearer scored 283 league goals in his career. Okay.
Yeah.
But 260 were in the
Premier League. I was going to say, if it's Premier League,
that's a pretty mental record that Shearer's, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I don't think that's going to be beaten anytime soon.
And 23 of them goals, he did actually score 283. It's just, it wasn't when the Premier League was around, it was before.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say Shearer because he was on Match of the Day on the panel and he said those City players have had much harder training sessions, which tells you all you need to know about
Damning, isn't it, of Fulham?
How many goals did you say that Aguero had got overall?
228.
Because it said that Shearer's all-round goal total was 422.
Right, so we ain't beating that.
In everything, including international.
Oh, I don't know about Aguero for Argentina.
Has he really done much? Argentina haven't really done much.
No one does much for Argentina, not even Messi.
I know, like, because they got to the semi, they got to the final in, was it 2014? Of course.
Well, next week we can promise you that Joe and Nathan will go away, do their homework, find out about a bit about Argentina for you Argentinian fans out there. We go on to Sunday's game just before the Liverpool Spurs game, Chelsea Cardiff. Nathan, I'm looking at you. We were lucky, weren't we, mate?
Bit lucky, daylight robbery. In all honesty,
yeah,
we were crap, to be fair. Like,
oh, sorry, Arkman.
Oh, well, it's a good word to use, isn't it?
Leave that for tennis. Come on.
No, first half it was just typical stuff: pass, toothless, nothing at the end of it. And then second half, Cardiff scored minutes into it with Camarasa. We didn't really look likely to add a goal back. Brought on Hazard and Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and both changed the game, to be fair. But still,
happy birthday.
Inside reference there.
We love
from
it.
Joe putting me off my
your flow.
But
continue, Nathan.
Continue. So we've scored two late goals, one of which was Aspilicueta's, which was miles offside. One of the most obvious offsides you'll ever see, and I think it was Willian and his afro which was blocking the linesman's view. Genuinely, so
doing bits.
Yeah, did bits there, and then not long after that, Rüdiger could have been sent off for a last man tackle on Zahore when Kepa was in no man's land, and the ref only gave me yellow. So Warnock was already feeling aggrieved from the offside, was going absolutely berserk.
Yeah,
and then Loftus-Cheek headed home with his eyes shut from Willian's cross, and then 2-1 Chelsea, and an absolute escape that, to be fair.
Yeah, obviously Warnock was furious. He called the ref, the officials, the worst officials in the world, and after he stared them down when they were walking off the pitch.
It was such a good picture, that. Like, that is such an iconic picture.
Sums it up, doesn't it?
Just, I completely agree with the, don't get me wrong, I think that Warnock can sometimes be a bit of a moaner, and I do think he sometimes gives the ref all of the game he's always complaining no matter what game. But in this situation I agree with the whole, is VAR coming in next season?
He stressed the need for it, didn't he?
It is needed. It was the whole debate when we were debating whether goal line technology should be used or not.
Yeah, you definitely,
if you've got this technology, why not use it? Because the ref and the linesman, it is so obviously in this instance it was pretty clearly offside, but in situations where it literally can be a couple of centimetres or so tight to be an offside or not, I don't get why they just reject the computer
technology. Well, there's a couple of penalty shouts as well, wasn't there, on their centre back Morrison either side of half time. He's obviously aggrieved by that, but Chelsea, it just papers over the cracks, really, doesn't it? Get 71 possession, as we said earlier, Nathan, a lot of passing about, but I mean,
so slow.
Yeah, they had 21 shots to Cardiff's 8, but both had 3 on target. So
I really couldn't tell you a time during the game, apart from the last 10 minutes when Chelsea looked likely to score. Just Pedro and Pedro, Higuain, Willian, Barkley was the front attackers, and just toothless, there's just no clinical edge or energy about them. Barkley had a chance to make it 3-1 right at the end. Hazard slipped him in perfectly, but he's just skyrocketed over.
Yeah, we were buzzing about him on the back of the England performances.
And then straight back to
reality.
Yeah. I'm perfectly fine with him only performing for England, to be honest.
I'm not surprised by that, but
I think at this point, Loftus-Cheek has to be starting for Chelsea.
Yeah, Ruben deserves.
Ruben.
What about Hudson-Odoi not being given a shout after his phenomenal starting performances for England? Do you think that he should have possibly been given a shot? Maybe not into the starting 11, but subbed on.
Definitely needs to get some time to play, because at the minute, as it's been throughout the season, it's been the same old substitutions where it's, you know, Kovacic can run for Barkley, Barkley can run for Kovacic or whatever. Bring him on and see if he can add something. He's more direct than what we've got at the minute. He's going to run at defenders and he's going to cause them trouble. They don't know him that well. They haven't been able to watch clips of, like they can with Pedro, who's been playing at Barcelona for that many years. They know his game inside out. Hudson-Odoi's, like you say, just broken into the England and Chelsea sides. Needs to be getting more game time for me.
Takes the piss a bit, doesn't it, with Sarri? Like, he constantly sings his praises, but then never plays him. And I think he said he only watched about 20 minutes of him during the international break and said he didn't even look that good. I was like, what sort of confidence is that?
You don't need to say that. You know what I mean? It's just going to deflate the confidence massively. And it's just... it's not really doing anything for his reputation, is it? Obviously, with the fans at 1-0 down, were singing, "We want Sarri out," and they were booing.
Fuck Sarri ball was another quote.
And Sarri said, post-match, Sarri said he's getting used to fans' criticism. So it's all just kicking off again. Not ideal. But yeah, I mean, point off top four. Arsenal won last night, obviously, which means that matters are bit more complicated because they leapfrog Spurs to go into third, but yeah.
Do you reckon they've got a shot?
I mean, obviously you say it as a Chelsea fan, you say we have, but you know, United were able to grind out a result against Watford when they perhaps didn't deserve the win. Arsenal seemed quite convincing last night against Newcastle. Obviously Spurs lost, but Spurs are in a better position than us right now, so you'd have to go with the three above us.
I don't think any team that plays Marcus Alonso at left back can honestly get into the top four. He this classic Alonso game, so slow, so awful at defending, always finding himself wandering off into the box in our attacking opportunities, like Emerson all day over him. Yeah, in my opinion.
Just want to quickly touch upon the news that broke towards the end of last week. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer signed a permanent deal with Man U, 3-year contract where he'll be earning $7 million a season.
Wow.
Which obviously puts rumours of Pochettino to United to bed. I mean, you say wow, it is astronomical figures, but Mourinho, I think, was on $18 million a season.
I think Man United still technically, David Moyes is still employed by the club and he's still getting paid. Because his contract's still not finished from when he originally signed to be manager in 2013.
2019 or 20?
I think it's towards the end of...
That's crazy, that.
It might be in a couple of months' time, but he's at this moment in time, he's still being paid by Man United.
Crazy. Solskjaer, obviously, it appeared to be a boost for the United players. They went on to beat Watford 2-1 on Saturday. Although, don't know if you caught it again, boys, but it wasn't the most convincing of victories. There was a subdued sort of feel to the crowd at Old Trafford. They knew that Watford were piling on the pressure and they did come close, to be fair. Grassi, after the game, did say that he was quite annoyed that they didn't get anything from this game. But Solskjaer did say that he has achieved his ultimate dream.
Yeah.
Which obviously...
beating Watford?
No. I'm sure that would be a big dream as well, but yeah, about getting the job.
The media have, it's funny to see how the media has worked on this one, because they kind of, for the past couple of weeks, they've been like, oh, when are they going to sign him up? When are they going to do that? And then he gets signed, and then against Watford, a lot of their coverage was, oh, have they done it too early? Have they done this? Because obviously Man United didn't play as well. It's just, it's quite amusing to see.
Football's just results based, really, and that tells you it there. Well,
Manu have then also got Wolves away tonight,
and they lost that in the FA Cup, didn't they?
But that was which is going to be it's a tough place to go to, especially Wolves, who are
depends how Wolves line up, because at the weekend Wolves rested a fair few.
But was that for the semi-final? Do you think
that's what I'm thinking? Are they going to bring back these big guns like Raul Jimenez tonight.
Well, Man U have also got Barcelona
next week, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, next week.
So it's coming to, yeah, it's coming to the crux of the season. Obviously, most of you at home will probably know these stats, that United were sixth when Solskjaer took over, 11 points off the top four, but now sitting, well, they're just outside the top four after he's won 14 of his 19 games.
Nice
in
little
It happens to the best of us. Come on, boys. Yeah, I think Joe wanted to cover some tennis for us. He's been doing his research this week.
Oh, I was loving the tennis, I'll tell you that. No, it was just following up with the... I think we may have touched upon it last week, the Miami Open in Miami.
I didn't know that.
I know, it was quite California. A tough one. Well, it was just the fact that Roger Federer won his, I think it was 101st overall title, which is... very like wow, like,
very well,
very I mean, wow.
When can you I have that really, printed on my shirt,
for
please.
Description.
I've really underplayed that. I'm not gonna
it's
lie.
It's very well.
Yeah,
great analysis
he's
of
won,
the tennis.
He's won 20 Grand Slam singles titles, and he beat John Isner in the final to win it.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
Wow.
Bargain, innit? Yeah. And then also Andy Murray, I think last night, because you know how we'd had all them hip issues.
Yeah.
So he's had his first hip operation, and he, which happened, well, he didn't have it last night. He had it in January. I don't know if any of you saw that unfortunate picture he posted about it.
Yeah, I did see that.
Which showed a bit too much of Andy Murray, the whole haggard and all. And, well, he was back on the court yesterday, just having a bit of a, I don't know what you'd call it, a hit around. Maybe
a hit around.
A hit around.
Maybe you could research that for us next week, Joe, and come back to...
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do a whole segment next week.
Yeah, that
I'm hitting it around.
Yeah.
Just hit it around, don't
he? He had a little play on the...
playing with what?
Play on the court. And he is pain-free following the surgery.
That's good to know.
But he says the chances of him returning to, like, Wimbledon this year are very low.
Yeah.
So probably not.
Yeah.
What a shame.
It is.
I swear he was retiring at one point.
Well, I thought when he was doing this hip thing, that was it. He was kind of calling it a day on professional. But in an interview, he said that he's pain free, but the chances of him playing singles at Wimbledon this year are very low. So I'd expect that means that he's aiming to be back. I don't know. I think. Unless you two have got anything else you want to mention about tennis, I know Nathan has a passion for it.
As I said last week, I couldn't care less about tennis, Joe.
Yeah, that's hence my comment. What are we going on to now then, Josh?
I think it's a bit of Grand Prix.
Sorry, I forgot. I've got the plan up now.
Championship, weren't it?
It's a championship.
It's a championship. Grand Prix can wait till later.
Yeah.
Probably end the podcast on that. The highlight with the expert.
End it on a high.
Wonderful. So, yeah, championship, boys, what games are you looking at in particular?
Do you want to start with Norwich?
So that'll give you plenty of time to talk about United after. But, yeah, Norwich, standard for them, wasn't it? Seventh consecutive win.
Ooh.
Come on, boys.
1-0 win. Enel Hernandez's beautiful strike breaking the deadlock, the only goal in the game. But yeah, well, they're a lot better position than Sheffield United at this current moment, Joe.
Ooh.
Currently sit 5 points above Leeds in top spot. So yeah, just standard for them.
It's basically confirmed, isn't it, now that they're probably going to go up.
You would like to think so at this point. It was Middlesbrough's fourth loss in a row.
Not good. They slipped out of the top six, didn't they?
Yeah.
They've slipped out, but they're only like a point off of
it. It's the first time they've been out of it, though, since the 9th of August.
And
they've only won once at home in 2019, so a bit of a sticky situation for them at the minute.
Ooh. Very sticky by the sounds of it.
Very Pulis.
I don't know if you've got anything else you want to say about Norwich.
Well, I'll let you go ahead with your United rant.
It's not really a rant.
Yeah, what was the score? I didn't quite catch that one.
It was 3-2 to Bristol.
Bristol
City.
The bigger footballing city winning that one.
It was just a very poor performance from United. The better team won by far. Other than the first 10 minutes, Bristol dominated them. it was a shame to see, to be honest, especially because United have had that such strong, not just record at home, as in winning, like, I don't know how many home games on a trot now, but it was insane. But also their defence was keeping clean. This was the first time they'd conceded at home since Boxing Day, so that was a bit annoying. I think Wilder will have probably told them to just keep their heads up and move on to the next game. They're not out of it by any means. And if you'd have asked me before the Leeds game, which they managed to win, I'd have taken a draw against Leeds and a win against Bristol, and that would have put United still 2 points behind Leeds. And as I don't know if Nathan's got any notes on it, I didn't watch it, but I saw the results. Leeds went down. Millwall went ahead at Leeds twice before Leeds came back and yet again won it in the last 10 minutes. So I don't think Leeds could easily slip up as much as United could in his last, is it seven games?
They could. Their form's been a bit indifferent, hasn't it? But I think Leeds did deserve to win that game.
They probably did deserve it. And like United, I think United, when I saw United had gone 2-1 up, I thought it was quite a lucky 2-1. And I definitely think Bristol deserved points from that game, especially because they're pushing for promotion. They've got a game in hand and they're on 58, so they could easily, if they get a win from their game in hand, that puts them fifth.
And that game is tonight away at Middlesbrough, so yeah. Another away
big
trip.
Mention to Andreas Fireman,
yeah,
coming up with his first career hat trick,
and Hogan scoring his first goal for Sheffield United. Just to throw that in there,
Hogan.
Did you boys see Friday night's game? It was West Brom versus Birmingham.
I know there was a bit of trouble with the game, wasn't there?
Yeah. As I went onto Sky Sports app, that there was obviously a fan on the, I don't know if it was one of the West Brom fans or whether it was one of the Birmingham fans, but when West Brom got their winner, obviously it ended 3-2. Seemed like chaos sort of broke out, but I don't know.
If we're talking about chaos between fans, there's also I think I told Nathan this yesterday. There was a few fights outside of Bramall Lane on Facebook. I saw it. It looked like they were fighting with traffic cones. It's just not what you really want to see, especially it's such like.
So that's where you were Saturday afternoon, then, Joe?
Yeah, that's where I was Saturday afternoon. Yeah,
obviously didn't attend the library, me and Nathan. But
sorry. How much work did you actually do?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, decent amount.
Did Martin sink his teeth into it?
He did. Cheers, Martin. Any other games that you guys want to cover from the Championship? Obviously, there's Derby beating Rotherham 6-1. Absolutely trounced them.
Super Frank Lampard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bolton picked up an unexpected win against QPR, which led to Steve McLaren's sacking for QPR. Yeah. Not a surprise. They've not won a game since... They've only won one game since Boxing Day, I think, was the stat I saw, which... is not good enough for a team such as QPR.
Not good for Nathan's bet either, is it, that Wednesday went away to Stoke 0-0. Sound like a pretty poor game.
Yeah. I was getting towards like 70th, 75th minute, and I think neither team had a shot on target. I'm not sure how it finished up, but...
Check now if you want.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was a very good game.
One shot on target for Wednesday, three for Stoke. It's just
very poor.
Yeah, Wednesday could have done with winning probably if they wanted to challenge for the top six.
Yeah, probably their hopes done for now, isn't it?
It's so tight at the moment because it's
really tight.
It is so tight. But West Brom and United and Leeds, who were kind of the three teams in the fight for the top two playoff spots, they're too far ahead in my opinion.
Yeah, they've got really the gap. They've developed gap, haven't they?
Going back to the Bolton game, I presume you guys have seen the constantly breaking news of different Bolton topics. What have you?
Well, I saw yesterday.
There's been a steady stream.
Yeah, well, yesterday I was alerted that the players had refused to play. I've heard today heard today that the stadium might not actually be able to host two of the games.
Apparently the SAG, which is the Safety Advisory Group, have made a statement saying that because you know how Bolton aren't paying their staff, basically stewards and safety staff are refusing to work. So basically they don't want, they cannot secure the safety for fans because no stewards are going to be there.
Yeah, they've been issued an order preventing fans entering the ground, haven't they? So
I think that's for their next two fixtures, which are, is it Villa and... I don't know who the other team is.
It's not Ipswich, is it?
Oh, no, yeah. it's Ipswich and Middlesbrough, yeah. Sorry.
I know the EFL have said they were hoping for the fixtures to take place, and you know, an option could be for them to be behind doors.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think the fixtures will take place, but I don't think they'll be able to have any fans in it, which is a bit of a shame. But let's face it, if you've seen any televised Bolton games, they are very few. There's no fans there. Like, it is genuinely the turnout is so small that you could I could go and watch a Bolton game and shout something, and if it was on TV, you could hear me shout it, because it's just genuinely, it's such a deflated football club.
Yeah, it's all gone to pots, really. Bit of a shame, to be fair. But big shout out as well to Nottingham Forest. You got two late goals to beat Swansea, keeps them in what we describe as the promotion playoffs places hunt. But we don't. I think they're ninth, are they? It's all quite tight.
Very obviously tight.
Villa getting into the playoff section.
Yeah, still in. Forest can also still do it.
Yeah, I personally don't think they will. And even if they got there, I don't think they'd have the quality to beat somebody like Sheffield United. West Brom.
Who do we think are going to go up or at least get top six? So we're saying Norwich, Leeds.
Every week.
I know, but it's getting to the crunch stage now, isn't it? Norwich, Leeds, Sheffield United, probably West Brom as well, all secured. So there's two spots.
I think Villa.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
And,
is anyone really from Wednesday upwards? I know Wednesday probably don't have a chance because they're 3 points adrift.
Bristol City have two games in hand, which could be juicy for them.
Yeah. Could be juicy, Lucy, yeah.
I think it... from a United standpoint, assuming that United end up getting into the playoffs instead of automatics, I would rather it be Villa and Borough.
Really?
Yeah. I don't really...
Borough, what? John Obi Mikel's Borough?
Because I don't want to... Because I'm all right in thinking about third place sixth.
Yeah.
What? So it's probably... I know I'm presuming Villa will finish fifth.
So you're thinking it could be Bristol City repeat. Yeah. Andrew Zyman could be back to haunt you.
Yeah, and I'd assume that I think it would be, obviously the playoffs, you never know how they play out, like when Huddersfield came up a couple of seasons ago against Wednesday. But I think it would be a shame if United and West Brom.
I love that little, slip that in there, against Wednesday. Has to get the beef in.
I think it'll be a shame on how, I know West Brom have had a bit of a dip at the moment, but if West Brom and United aren't in, or Leeds, we don't know, aren't in the final of the playoffs, I think it'll be a bit of a shame, because the top four have had such a better season than the other teams below
them. built sort of like a large point difference over those chasing pack, haven't they?
Because you normally see a large point difference possibly between the team in first, I think it was Wolves last year, was it?
Yeah, they were on about 105
Wolves
points.
And Cardiff were next.
Cardiff second on like 92.
Yeah, so you always see like a big gap between first normally, and you're starting to see that with Norwich.
Yeah.
But you don't normally see such a big gap between four teams and the rest of the league, especially the playoffs. So I would like in the playoff final, I'd like West Brom be Leeds or West Brom be United.
Obviously depending on how it, yeah.
Well, West Brom probably going to finish fourth, unless, you know, they could easily catch up United if United do really shit in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Pardon my French.
But yeah, let's just round it up then. I think it's going to be Villa and Bristol City.
Oh, he's gone for the Bristols.
Yeah, what about you?
I think it is going to be Bristol and Villa.
Oh, he's gone for the Bristols.
I don't want it to be, but I think it will be.
Nathan?
I'm going to say Villa, and then to keep my bet alive, wishful thinking, I've got to say Wednesday.
How much do you win at the moment if you put money on?
I haven't checked. I can find out how much I'd get now, which would probably be nothing back.
That would be brilliant.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
It would.
Absolutely fantastic. We're waiting for him. I just didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah, waiting on the betting man.
We're waiting on the bet boy.
15 quid, 38p. But if they get top six, it'll be 340 quid. So let's keep that one alive, please.
Yes.
There was I don't. It's just come out now. It's not. This isn't to do with championship. It's more to do with football in general.
Yeah.
But the president of UEFA has said, Alexander Kefirin, I'm going to say his name is, has said that referees should stop games if racial abuse is heard from fans, especially because there's been many managers, high profile managers such as Klopp and your favourite Sarri, who has said that they will happily pull their players from the pitch if racial abuse is heard.
Do you mean Kepa would pull his players from the pitch?
Oh yeah, sorry.
Well, obviously Kane made the comment last week that whilst ever he's England captain, he'd happily stop the game if he was made aware of such racial abuse.
Is it just like, I know that racial abuse is really bad and I'm not trying to defend really? It.
Wow.
I know groundbreaking stuff. Get Bondi on here but should any abuse be tolerated? Because football in general the fans are always going to be abusive in some way or form.
Yeah, but when I think there's a difference between telling someone to fuck off and, you know, then having
juicy language.
Yeah. Hello, language. Westwood's out there, get him in here. We can play some rap music and get them mute.
I think it is part and parcel, like the banter, like, and fans will have with each other and start like shouting stuff like, you should have gone to Specsavers, all this sort of stuff.
If they're on about doing racial stuff, what happens if in the future more gay players come along? If it's homophobic, should that have the same treatment?
The way you've worded that makes it sound like in like 2022, 50 gay players are all just going to run to the Premier League.
You know what I mean? Is in like if more football players came out as openly gay, would that?
Well, it has
I don't mean they're suddenly going to like. There's going to be like a boatload of like gay people are going to come into football. It's not like they're just going to like invest in that. It's not like. But I mean, as in like.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a.
Back to your point.
I'm kind of digging myself a hole here. Would homophobic abuse should that be treated the exact same as
the same as racist abuse? Yeah,
definitely. I think we should stamp it all out.
But I don't know how sexual abuse would work from a football chant standpoint.
We've not had any transgender footballers yet. I don't think anyway.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I think whatever abuse it is, if it obviously, like I said,
well, we have actually, but not like from the women's game into the men's game.
Yeah,
I think we've had it the other
like
way.
Higher levels. But yeah, I think that any abuse should be stamped out. You can't, you know, make exceptions for certain types. I think just kick it all out. And it's positive to see that somebody from UEFA is condemning it. Usually they're questioned for some of their actions, but let's hope that they're actually going to do something about this.
I know there's
that
big Premier League campaign at the minute, No Room for Racism, which all the clubs have like signed up for and supporting, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently UEFA's president has also said extended stadium bans or even tournament expulsions are what we need.
This is sticky. Like,
I don't agree with... I think it depends. Like if it's the whole thing with the Grealish incident. You can't deduct points for one person's behaviour, because that is,
or even
such a
or even 10 or even 50,
because it's too easy for me to go into a, I don't know,
Sheffield Wednesday, for example,
a Leeds game.
Yeah,
I'm sitting in the Leeds stand, wear a Leeds shirt, and then run on the pitch and try and punch one of the opponent's players in hopes that they'll deduct points. Yeah, okay, it's a bit of a drastic measure, but like,
bless you, Nathan.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you should probably focus more on stamping it out in general before. Because I don't think them punishments will never come through.
I know. I think it might have been John Barnes was saying, it's all very well and good saying all this stuff about racism in football, but you need to tackle it in society first because that's where it's like stemming from.
Yeah, people have said that, you know, something needs to be discussed, saying government, to make, you know, to educate people, like you say.
It's not okay. Montenegro are a difference. I don't know what we call whatever. They'll be in a different society to us, but at the same time, racism still goes on in England. We're just we're just acting like we've never heard it before. In a recent study, over 50% of English football fans said they'd heard racism at a football game recently.
Yeah, it's definitely an issue.
Well, obviously, they're the people who've been surveyed, but like that's a pretty telling statistic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, good breaking news, that. What else were you wanting to discuss, Joe?
There was, I think me and Nathan caught the penalty shootout, and it was quite a tight game in the Checker Trade Trophy against Portsmouth vs Sunderland.
I think, yeah, you caught some of the extra time as well, didn't you?
Oh, it was he's not throwing me under the bus, he's genuinely being serious.
I don't know who thought he was throwing it. I'm sure he would never do that.
No, I'm sure he wouldn't. It was a very tight game. Both teams very, very tight. Both teams scored. Portsmouth scored in the last 10 minutes of normal time, and then Sunderland proceeded to score and equalise in the last minute of added time. So it was a very even game, and it was. I don't know if Sunderland have, but I know Portsmouth in the past have been very critical of this competition in general, saying that it's basically like a waste of time. It's just an extra tour. It's just more games to play. But both teams fully delivered on this. Like that it was one of the better like cup finals I've seen. Like
85,000, I think.
Oh, it was. It was just over. I think it was 86.
Really?
Which is a brilliant. Yes. Like, which is record numbers for this tournament. And I feel sorry for the Sunderland fans who travelled all the way down from Sunderland to see it, because obviously they didn't get every result they wanted.
But arguably the two biggest teams in the competition.
Yeah, because they're both fighting for, is it promotion from League One or League Two?
Yeah, League One. Did you see Lowe's goal? The chip over the keeper?
Yeah.
That was a great finish, that. Stay composed and to, you know.
I think it was the keeper who saved the penalty, weren't it? He saved a penalty, they didn't miss.
Yeah, Catamol missed. Catamol.
Yeah. Catamol.
And I don't know who.
It was a solid penalty shootout, though.
Yeah.
What was it? 5-4, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it was just one.
So miss. It was only Catamol, the player that's been at Sunderland since forever.
I was watching it in my lounge, in the living room, and I genuinely was. Like, you know, when there's a penalty shootout, even if it's a team I don't give a care about, I don't care about Portsmouth or Sunderland. You still get them butterflies in your stomach whenever someone stands up to take a penalty. I'm like,
ooh. Bit soppy. Like, no, I do what you mean.
No, yeah. I still get excited even when it's a team I don't care about.
Yeah, Nathan told me he felt the same as well. So
it could be like Papua New Guinea versus like
big game Montenegro
versus Palestine, and I wouldn't care because it's a penalty shootout.
It could be Hallam versus Unioff.
Yeah, you know what I do rate though. I rate the fact that they went back to the nice angle. Did you see that?
Are we on about final? That was dreadful.
It was a disgusting penalty angle.
No, you're right. You couldn't tell if the penalties were going in or over or fucking saved or anything.
Disgusting, really.
Disgusting. It was a really good. I don't know who's won the trophy in the past, but it reminded me of the penalty shootout of going to Wembley to watch United in the League One playoffs. When it went down to the keepers, that was intense. I think that's probably where the whole getting nervous at penalty shootouts stems from.
Portsmouth might be only the second team that have been in the top flight to have also won the Checker Trade after Wolves. I think I saw
decent knowledge.
I don't even know who's won it in the past.
We should.
You should. That's where United play most of their football.
Can't be having that.
I think you're right. Looking back at it. Oh my god! It didn't used to be called Checker Trade, did it?
No.
I watched Chesterfield win it at Wembley.
Oh yeah, Johnston Hint Trophy.
Yeah. I went and watched them win it when Chesterfield got there in 2012.
It's closer. It's North East Derbyshire.
Yeah, big support for the North East Derbyshire boys.
Swansea and Blackpool have both won it as well, and they've both been in the top flight of English.
It might be teams that have won the top flight then. It was something like that anyway. Some sort of statistic.
And Wigan.
Like this.
Sorry to just basically shit on you.
Yeah, no, don't. No worries, mate.
We don't want to get any complaints from certain people.
We'll just allow it. Don't worry.
Allow it, yeah. I think Josh may have caught this game. It was big in Scotland to our tens of Scottish fans. There was the Old Firm derby.
I did indeed.
Brutal.
So, yeah, well, obviously Celtic took the lead within the 20-minute mark. And just 4 minutes after conceding, Rangers went down to 10 men after Morelos received his fourth or fifth.
I swear.
I think it's fifth because yeah. Gerrard came out afterwards and slated him.
For yeah.
I swear every time I look at a Rangers score, I'll either see him, yeah. he's either scored or been sent off.
Yeah, he's one of those that you know that he's a great player, but he's really got, he's one of the worst cases. He reminds me, perhaps he might be a bit better of a player and he's still quite young, but he reminds me of El Hadj Diouf. I don't know if you remember El Hadj Diouf, but got that tendency to really just lose his head and pretty much just leave his team in the dumps, getting sent off so early. Celtic, it makes it easy for Celtic. They know they have a game plan. Let's wind him up with the likes of Scott, you know, Scott Brown, who will fly into tackles, we saw again.
Always in the middle of the scraps.
Yeah, he? Even at the 97th minute as the whistle blew, he was involved in Carnage, the skirmish. Yeah, where Andy Halliday got sent off. So obviously, Morelos will now serve a 4-match ban just because he's accumulated so many this season. He said, "I would never change the way I am," which is quite worrying considering your manager's just come out.
He said he can't defend him.
Yeah, and you know, this is a serious issue that they need to try and sort. I personally think they might sell him in the summer.
Who's going to take him though?
Well, I read that some of the papers are saying that Everton, West Ham and the likes of Dortmund are interested, but if you're going to sign him at Dortmund, you've got big Champions League games,
yeah,
and the games against Bayern Munich, you know, if he was
no big games for Everton or West Ham.
Well, there would be obviously, but I'm just saying hypothetically.
Apparently Scott Brown after the game ran over in front of the Rangers fans and started like celebrating.
He's basically Ramos for Celtic, except for me, he's not as good a footballer.
Except there's no likable qualities about him whatsoever.
Yeah, but I find that with Ramos as well. Well, I think Ramos is a better player, but I think Ramos is a cock.
I'd have Ramos in my team any day.
He'd be right in your basket.
He'd be right in my basket.
I dislike Ramos so much.
I'd have him any day at Chelsea.
Well, yeah, at Chelsea. But so Gerrard claims that after the game that Morelos will be dealt with internally. That he's struggling to defend the forward any longer.
Somebody's intestines are going to get messed.
Lovely.
Gerrard slipping and sliding into that.
He obviously mentioned the possibility of fans getting potential refunds. Yeah. So the money, the fine that Morelos would be, you know, he'd be fined for, they're on about giving it to the fans. I mean, that's what he said in
post-match. If it's not hard enough having to watch Rangers in the first place.
Oof, indeed.
To be fair, if it weren't for Rangers and Celtic, the Scottish Premier League would be the most boring league on earth.
I think it still is, but there was a combined 24 fouls in this game, so pretty standard for Old Firm. I personally think that Celtic defended well, putting 7 of their 12 shots on target. So when you put in 7 of your, you know, 7 attempts on target, you're likely to get a couple of goals, which is why I said earlier in the episode that Huddersfield with 5 on target in their game, quite unfortunate. And then Rangers only got 1 of their 6 on target, so not great for them. And is it now a 13 or 14 point gap they have over Rangers? 13 point gap over Rangers. But I think that, should we perhaps talk about Gerrard a little bit, what he's done for Rangers? Well, he's put them back up there.
Yeah,
like obviously right now they're not competing.
How many years ago was it where they had the whole administration thing?
That was it, 2014 maybe? Nathan, I couldn't put
a date on it, but it was a while, about 5 or 6 years ago now, yeah, wasn't it?
Obviously that wasn't a great time for them, but I think even the fact that they're back in the top division where they belong and that they're second, I think fans, you know, ideally would like to be challenging Celtic, but perhaps a bit more reinvestment in the summer, I think they potentially could be challenging Celtic in the next couple of years. But yeah, quickly as well, it's Lennon, isn't it, the yeah, Celtic manager, yeah,
Neil.
Joe's dad,
yeah.
My daddy, trust me, if you've seen my daddy, he's not ginger anymore.
Sorry, Joe's dad.
Yeah, sorry,
Joe,
dad.
Joe told us near the start of the year that he kind of thinks of you as Neil Lennon.
What? I've been thrown under the bus there, haven't I? That is literally the definition of getting me and putting me underneath the bus and then driving over me.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Joe?
Ollie's at the wheel of that bus.
Oh, what about about?
No, just what we're on to next.
Well, just as a quick question, what do you think is the best derby in football?
Derby County, probably.
Shut up. Best local derby, sorry, not like Liverpool or Man U. I mean, like.
I've got a list. So I've noted Liverpool, Everton, Celtic, Rangers. There's loads. It's more just for, you know, discussion. We can talk about Arsenal, Spurs, Boca versus River Plate, Real versus Atletico, Newcastle, Sunderland, Benfica, Sporting, Lazio,
he's
Roma.
He's just basically named local derbies.
Dortmund, Schalke.
www.wikipedia.com/local derby.
I'm literally brainstorming.
I put best football derbies on.
Have you not found the Milan derby on there?
I've got one.
You could argue that, but I personally wouldn't say.
Well, what in your opinion would be the? And don't say Notts County versus Notts Forest, because we know it.
There's no such team as Notts Forest.
Oh. Forest,
but, I mean, you're lucky I didn't put Nottingham Forest versus Derby on there. It's usually quite a juicy one when we had the likes of Robbie Savage scrapping it out with Nathan Tyson. But I always found Newcastle versus Sunderland quite entertaining. It might not have been the best quality, but I think it was always quite an interesting game. I put Boca versus River Plate, but I personally don't watch the games live.
Surprises me, that one.
Oh, well,
I thought he was a huge Boca fan.
Why, have you caught quite a few games, Nathan?
Yeah, well, how are Boca doing at the moment, Nathan?
Yeah, they're there or thereabouts, aren't they? Always battling it out.
And what about River Plate, Joe?
River Plate are in a league.
Really? I didn't think that.
A league.
Not Argentina, Joe.
He didn't even know the country. I mean, you were meant to be researching Argentina, weren't you, Joe?
I think he said he had a passion for geography as well.
Yeah,
of course. What would you say then, Nathan, as your derby?
I don't think you could really name one, because it's objective to those teams that you support. Like, someone from Portsmouth's not really going to give like a crap about Newcastle, Sunderland, are they? Or someone from Johnfield's not really going to care about Sheffield United versus Sheffield Wednesday. So, you know,
I think in my opinion, as of late, the Sheffield derby hasn't really been up to scratch, other than that. Game at Hillsborough last season, 3-0 draws, a bit boring. So
I think you've got to really look locally, you know, and go Mansfield, yeah. Chesterfield, perhaps, you know. We caught much of those game, boys. You know, you said you
Chesterfield
went to go
are
and
about
what?
To get relegated from non-league football, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really? So that's quite quite shocking for your local team, Joe.
Your local team's about to join non-league, aren't they? What? Notts County.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. They won 3-0
really?
At the weekend away to Stevenage.
Big win.
So they're only in the relegation zone on goal difference. So
should we get back on track, lads? Because we've just basically turned this into a sledging competition.
Joe, who would you say your... What would you say the best derby in football is for you?
On a good day, the game at Hillsborough last season. I'm not just saying that because United won. I'm saying it because...
Definitely is.
Right.
Come on, boys.
Definitely needed to bring that up one more time.
Put the sledges away. Come on, it's not snowing yet.
Right, anyway, boxing. Nathan, you've got some stuff on boxing and teeth.
Yeah, I've got some stuff on boxing.
Are you a dentist?
And teeth. Right. So it was David Price versus Cash Ali on the undercard of Smith Egerton on the weekend. A lot of people have been calling for David Price to retire. Like, jokes like he's seen more canvas than Pablo Picasso. And in the fifth round of this fight, Cash Ali, who is a former sparring partner of Price and was undefeated up till this point, got hit with a shot from Price. And then I think you've both seen the incident. It was sort of like a grapple type tackle takedown happened. And then before you know it, Ali had bitten into Price's stomach and he got disqualified there. And then I think Ali's had his purse withdrawn now and he has since had his boxing license suspended pending a hearing.
It's just it happens in other sports, doesn't it? Obviously, you saw with Big Suarez and was it Chiellini?
Yeah, big.
I never understand why athletes do that or feel the need to sink their teeth into somebody else's flesh.
Yeah, it's big.
I've never felt that. This is what
David Price said about it. He said, if he wanted to, he could have torn a chunk out of my skin, but he didn't. He didn't do it hard enough to do that because he didn't want to. He just wanted to do it enough to get thrown out of the fight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So he was clearly, like, bottled it and took the coward's way out to...
He bottled it, just like I bottle the library over time. It's just like that.
Oh, well, you throwing himself beef there.
I was throwing myself beef, yeah, so but I couldn't give it out.
Yeah, but I thought David Price did really well to stay calm and keep his head because...
Which Joe doesn't do.
Oh.
What, stay calm or keep my head?
Continue, Nathan.
Yeah, I thought he did really well to do that because, you know, if someone's biting you in the middle of a professional sporting contest, you're going to be kicking off and he'd... I mean, all the people...
How many times have you been bitten, Nathan?
What?
How many times have you been bitten?
Not many during sporting contests. I mean, but
otherwise,
five a side doesn't go that far, unfortunately.
But I know that when there was a couple of chicken breasts being flung up in the air, there might have been teeth, a few gnashes there.
Yeah, a couple of taekwondo kicks to the chicken will send it on its way. But yeah, Ali was getting covered in beer from all angles from the Liverpool crowd. Yeah, he was getting a nice soaking, a couple of pints, sipping on. On his way out.
Sipping on gin and juice, yeah. Anything else to add to that, Nathan?
No.
Apparently he claimed that he'd bitten him a couple of times in earlier rounds, which left him with further bite marks on his neck.
He was trying for it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So was this not seen by the judges?
No.
No, apparently he told the referee about it. But
he said, obviously, I'll watch
it. I have no idea. Yeah. But it is a pretty clear... horseshoe shaped mark on his lower rib cage, yeah. Where you can see where his teeth, and it looks like he bit him hard enough to leave a good mark.
Not nice, is it?
Well, I've never been bitten personally, but I can't imagine
it's on
nice.
About how it looked, Joe, but you know, you articulate yourself in that way, kiddo.
It was absolutely wow,
kiddo.
Wasn't it,
kiddo?
Anyway, we'll wrap it up with Grand Prix.
Yeah, we've got Josh. You know about the F1, don't you?
The expert is finally here.
Obviously, a couple of weeks ago, I took the time off. I've been doing my research. It was the Bahrain Grand Prix yesterday. Lewis Hamilton won this one. Just slightly, you know, edging Valtteri Bottas.
How did Bottas do in the last Grand Prix, Josh?
I'm not sure, to be fair. This one took over my mind a bit. But, you know, how you don't plan the notes or anything. I'm guessing you have quite a good... you know, amount of knowledge on it. Could you help us here? I know that Valtteri Bottas won. If you're on about the Australian Grand Prix, I know that he won that one.
Yeah, that's what I meant with the last Grand Prix.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
The last Grand Prix, which was the Australian one, which was two.
If you specified that, then that would have been cool. But yeah, he beat Hamilton by 20 seconds. We had Verstappen in third, Vettel fourth, and someone I've not actually heard of, Leclerc. The Polish, I think he's a Polish driver, in fifth. In this one, like I said, Hamilton, Bottas, Leclerc jumped it from fifth to third, Verstappen, and then Vettel, which means that Hamilton still chasing Bottas. Hamilton's second place, point behind Bottas, and then Verstappen's 16 points behind Hamilton in third. So those two, it looks like it could be a repeat of how it was just a few years back between himself and Rosberg.
Well, unfortunately, the Chinese Grand Prix, which is the next one on the 14th of April, is after we've finished uni. So you might have to keep over the summer, like a nice little diary, F1 diary. I know you've got some nice stickers to use.
Some stickers.
It's got like
go on the soapbox, can't it?
I know. He's got it's like a Mummy's Little Racer and stuff like that.
Yeah, my favorite.
Broom and stuff like that. You'll have to keep maybe a log of all the results to feed them back to us. I'll do it with tennis as well. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know there's like Wimbledon coming up, so no pressure, big boy.
Yeah, no pressure. I know there's like a lot of Grand Prix over the year,
and there's quite a bit of darts, isn't there, coming up for Nathan to.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Don't worry. Phil Taylor and Raymond van Barneveld have me covered on that.
Van Barneveld was just retired, but
and then come out of retirement again. So
has he? I love that. I love that knowledge, mate.
So is this going to be next week's our last podcast before September?
I believe
it
could be.
Make it a big juicy one then.
Yeah. So
well, I think you're right. Unless we want to do one when we're
do one, son.
Well,
or we could do one when we come back for our exams.
Oh, yeah. I would love to.
Well, and also we'll have to do one on the move because on the 7th of July in 2019 there is the Red Bull Soapbox Race in London 2019.
That's just going to be a two-man one, isn't it? Because someone will be there.
We'll go and watch it.
We can do it live.
We can get Westwood on it, commentate it. Yeah.
I think Joe was on about having a little knockabout with Murray as well. So
I'd love to have a knockabout with Murray and Judy.
And Nathan's going to be practicing some biting in his spare time outside of sporting events.
Me and Cash.
How is your soapbox coming along?
Yeah, it's all right, to be fair, mate. I like to kind of keep it a secret because I don't want to spoil the big event, but you boys...
But it was a pussy magnet.
Joe, that is completely out of context. I do not appreciate...
Out of context?
Yeah, on that note...
This podcast has gone down the drain at this point.
Just make sure you tune in next week. Obviously, like we said, it's kind of like the main...
Gone down the drain, just like his pint at beer keller last night.
Nudge, nudge.
Yeah, so do make sure you join us next week. Could be our last one for a few weeks. We'll catch you then. See you later.
Bye.
Cheers.
Better